What the hell was that?
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah. Are you there?
We gotta get rid of this coop. I got an idea.
Greatness at its finest.
Welcome to the Rodcast.
Wonder who that could be.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260.
Come on, why you want to play a brother like that?
And hornfm.com.
Is there a problem back there?
Where the Longhorns play and Austin talks sports.
Welcome back to the Rodcast. Freak flag, feel good, fake it till you make it. Football, fantastic, funkadelic, and another positive F-bomb Friday edition of the Rodcast.
Dude, we got freaky.
We started off with freaky. Yeah, we got freaky because we'll get freaky tales coming up. We'll do it at the end of the first hour. So the third segment in the first hour, so we'll get to it around 1:50, and then around 2:50, we'll get to Crosstalk / Freaky Tales. So we'll do that, of course. We'll get you caught up with the leaderboard, speaking of freaky things, going on with the Open, the British Open. We'll get you a leaderboard update. That's pretty much the rundown. I mean, that's basically what the rundown is today. I mean, nothing else really going on in the world of sports.
It's a slow time right now.
We'll give you
some calm before the storm.
It is. Yeah, exactly right. We're getting ready. Just came back from Big 12 Media Day. That's one of the road signs on the way to the football season. And, of course, I think we're like 43 days away or something like that from Texas football.
Yeah, we're close.
I see the countdown all the time. My man CB always reminds us of
it's 43, 42,
somewhere in that range, all right? My hair is on my arm, are starting to stand up, so I know we're getting close. I'm getting antsy, all right? I'm getting anxious. But we'll give you your leaderboard update.
They call that spidey senses, man.
British Open. Yeah, I do got that spidey sense. Kind of old man stuff, you know what I mean? My bones start creaking around this time. You know what I mean? It's used to getting some punishment most of my life, you know what I mean, around this time. And I like to do it. So we'll get to that. Of course, we'll talk a ton of football. We'll go behind the burnt orange curtain in the second segment. I want to talk Texas defense. There's a great story. Brent Venables is now he has the most lucrative contract for any assistant coach in the history of college football. Now, that doesn't mean I think there is a difference because Dave Aranda has the most, I think he's the highest paid per year annually. He gets the most salary. But in terms of the how robust the overall deal is, Brent Venables, the DC for Clemson, has set a record. And of course, you know, Dave Aranda with the LSU Tigers, he set a record, I believe it was last year, actually, when they signed him to the most lucrative deal ever for an assistant coach. He's a DC for LSU. So defensive coordinators right now are at a premium. Why? Because if anybody who has a resume of being able to stop prolific offenses and do it against blue bloods and Power Five schools, then you're going to be a valuable, valuable commodity. And Todd Orlando is one of those guys, which is why Texas had to up Todd Orlando last year, because he's also one of those guys. I hadn't looked at and found out where he stands, but and I'm assuming he's among the top 5-6 highest paid DCs in the country. So last year I compared his resume to the LSU defense coordinator. This year I kind of want to compare it to Brent Venables. So we'll do that when we go behind the burnt orange curtain and talk some Texas football. There is also some NFL stuff that we got to get to. There's a big NFL story. It might be the biggest story right now. We'll start off with it. The NFL has decided to call a truce temporarily between themselves and the Players Association for the NFL so that they can come up with a more popular and more constructive and productive solution and resolution to the national anthem issue where players are protesting during the national anthem. So what happened was the fit hit the shan yesterday for the NFL. And what have I been saying about the NFL all year long? Man, the NFL is really, really, it's a tough league to talk about and to discuss in the offseason, right? Because all the issues are really, really serious. You can't even really joke. Honestly, I'll tell you what, one of the most lighthearted issues for the NFL that's come out, and people are saying it's bad and it's not good, and I know that my boy Kyle Shanahan probably doesn't like it very much, is that Jimmy Garoppolo went on a date with a porn star. That's a really cool headline. Now, we can get depth in that. We can have man talk with that. We can have some fun with that. Who was the porn star? Have you seen the porn star? How well do you know porn stars? All these guys. That's fun to talk
that's
about,
the thing
actually.
That raised my eyebrow the most is the, you know the actual porn star. Why not a bigger porn star?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So there's so many questions that we can have. We are going to have a great discussion about it. Let me tell you that right now. But, you know, that's the kind of storyline that, you know, the NBA has a lot of those storylines with, you know, LeBron and hanging out with superstars in L.A. or whether it's even the J.R. Smith debacle was fun to talk about. The NFL headlines in the offseason, they're not really fun to talk about. Even the Kawhi Leonard thing, it's salacious, it's scandalous, but it's fun for sports talk radio analysts and for everybody in the sports media to theorize and talk about. The NFL, nobody wants to talk about Colin Kaepernick anymore. You want to talk about the the protest during the national anthem? I could. It is the biggest story in the NFL, but nobody really wants to talk about it. All right? It's one of those subjects that makes people feel bad. They don't want to talk about it. Then people get heated about it. They get into arguments, and then they start talking about sports and politics and how they don't mix and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, even the other issues for, you know, the NFL, if you're talking about until the season starts, we don't talk about actual football. That's why we're waiting on football to come. But all the stories, the Kellen Winslow story, like the Brandon Browner story, that, you know, the body found in Janoris Jenkins' house, and that was his brother. And, hell, Marcell Dareus now has a second lawsuit against him for sexual assault. Like, it's just, they got a lot of bad stories, all right, in the NFL in the offseason. And another bad one came yesterday. Another bad story for the NFL. Just a bad story to talk about. Negative vibes. We don't get to crack a lot of jokes when we talk about the NFL in the offseason. Talk about the NBA in the offseason? Oh, hell, there ain't nothing but jokes. Jokes about Kawhi, and he's a coward, all right? He's a, all right? He's Kawhi-ed, and all this kind of stuff. You can crack jokes on the Kawhi Leonard thing all day long. He was hiding from the Spurs, and he was ghosting the Spurs, wouldn't call him back. Like, there's just all this salacious and scandalous stuff to get to when it comes to NBA. Even LeBron James, he's going to dinner with Leonardo DiCaprio and Al Pacino. That's fun to talk about. It's lighthearted. You know what I mean? We have fun talking about that kind of stuff. Boogie Cousins going to the Warriors. We have fun dogging the Warriors now because nobody likes the Warriors. So we can crack jokes and talk about how, you know, Kevin Durant is the most disliked superstar in the NBA now, and that he's one of those guys that's kind of been delegitimized, and he has burner accounts. Oh, burner accounts in the NBA, by the way. Also fun to talk about. His wife actually was the one who had the burner account. That's pretty cool. Pretty fun. That's like Real Housewives stuff. That's like E! Entertainment, Us Weekly. We like that kind of stuff. That's celebrities, scandal. We like that kind of stuff. The NFL? It's like concussion crisis and CTE and Donald Trump's criticizing the NFL and the NFL's worried about the national anthem issue. I mean, like I said, the Jimmy Garoppolo story, I can't wait to talk about it. It's one of the first NFL stories that's fun to talk about. We can talk about Le'Veon Bell holding out, Julio Jones holding out. Give me the lighthearted, really cool story about the NFL in the offseason. I don't really have any. You know what I mean? Like, that's part of transcending the sports page to the front page. All right, but getting back to the NFL, and this is also a story nobody wants to talk about, but it's the awkward conversation that America has to have at one point with its favorite game. The NFL and the NFL Players Association made a joint statement, which, by the way, I can't remember the last time they made a joint statement. But probably got to go back to like 9/11, last time they made a joint statement. They don't make joint statements. They don't work together. That's not what they do. They made the last national anthem policy without even talking to the players. They don't want to work with the players. They want to oppress the players. They don't want the players to have rights. They don't want the players to have guaranteed money. Why would they? They're making like $14 billion a year. They just shared $255 million checks each in the NFL for their annual revenue bonuses for the teams. If the players start getting a bigger portion of that, then, you know, that will shrink for the owners. They don't want to share that. And that includes the power. That includes, even and there's no negotiation that the NFL owners want to lose to the players. Not one. Not one. Which is why they have the weakest union in all of major American sports. They don't want, they won't give them anything. Those old crotchety billionaires, there's a reason they're billionaires. They don't give an inch. Man, give me that. That's how I think they sound. Right. They don't give an inch. All right. And that's why the players get dominated in every negotiation, every work stoppage. They don't stand a chance. We all know it. It's laughable. We've had presidents of the players' associations who we've known are puppets of the owners because they had to be. But I digress. Here's the joint statement. Because after the Dolphins, who in the Dolphins' front office thought this was a good idea to release it. But remember, the NFL decided, hey, we're going to have a uniform policy. If you disagree with the, you know, with standing for the national anthem and you would like to protest for any reason, and of course that reason being the mistreatment of people of color, and I think specifically they were talking about the mistreatment of African Americans within the justice system and people of color within the justice system. But if you have any disagreement and you want to protest in any way, the locker room is your sanctuary. It always has been a sanctuary. We'll just keep it that way. You can go there, do what you want to do, and know the world won't see you and won't worry about you. But everybody who's on the sideline, they must stand in honor of the flag, in honor of the national anthem, and stand in attention, stand in a respectful manner. That was the new rule that was passed. Some people disagreed with it. I would say it was probably 50-50. Some people disagreed with it. Some people liked it. Whatever. That's how the country is about this subject, and they haven't been about it since Colin Kaepernick first took a knee. We've pretty much been 50-50 on it. But the NFL still losing the public relations battle because 50% of their fans are upset with them no matter what they do. They're in a catch-22. So they gave it basically a states' rights type of philosophy where they decided to give it to the teams. The team, whatever the teams want to do, we'll let them handle it. If the teams don't abide by the new rule that we have put in place, we will fine the teams. Remember, the new rule is about fining the teams, not the players. That was kind of their spin. We're gonna find the teams, not necessarily the players. We're gonna leave it up to the teams individually if they would like to sanction and punish the players for their actions if they decide to, you know, violate the rule. So the Dolphins yesterday it was released, and I don't know exactly. Multiple different media outlets released the fact that they were going to potentially fine players who protested during the national anthem and did not stand in a respectful manner and or suspend them for up to 4 games. Now, if you'll remember, and I think most of the blowback kind of went toward this. If you'll remember, Jameis Winston just got suspended for 3 games because the NFL's investigation of his groping of an Uber driver, they felt, you know, that sexual assault, that it was warranted that he should be suspended as a result of it, even though no criminal charges filed in it and the police were not involved, the authorities were not involved. And yet you may get 4 games just for protesting during the national anthem. That equivalently, whether you believe it was founded or false, you know, has gotten the NFL in hot water once again. So the NFL, because the blowback was so tremendous, and the NFL does not really stand for a damn thing when on this issue. This is what I call a crisis of character for the NFL. This is why both sides have criticized the NFL and both sides dislike the NFL on this issue, because they just go back and forth depending on wherever the wind blows. You notice the NBA has had their stance forever. They've stood by it. That's their stance. They say they will suspend guys if guys do not stand at attention and stand in an honorable way during the national anthem. They've had it like that ever since Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf back in the day. I hope I got that right.
No, you did.
Back in the day when he said, as a, I think he was a member of Islam, so he said he couldn't do it.
Pioneered,
he's a Muslim,
yeah.
He couldn't do it. He said, I can't do it. Yeah, he was basically kind of arguing the same things that that Colin Kaepernick's arguing. Did he also have Tourette's?
I'm sure.
I think he had Tourette's.
I'm sure, because he was outspoken.
I think that's that. That's not what I meant. But I think he had Tourette's, too. Not that that meant anything, but he had Tourette's. That's kind of, I mean, think about the, yeah, that's a lot to overcome. But anyway, I digress. My point being, the NBA has been steadfast, and they have been consistent. And even though they're, and they've been decisive, and although their punishment and their policy is stricter than the NFL's policy, nobody's criticizing them. Because at least they stand for something. What did
I
say?
I think that's right. Because they haven't gone back. They haven't taken a step back. They've been forward with it. They've been very decisive with this the whole time.
And also the NBA empowers its players. The players believe that they have not only equal ownership of that league, hell, some, they believe they run that league.
Yeah, there is a better relationship with their commissioner.
Their commissioner loves them. Like, that commissioner loves the players. Everybody's like, oh, the Warriors, that's unhealthy for the league. Every time Adam Silver talks, he goes, the Warriors are great for the NBA. I love those guys. They're awesome. Why? Hell, because, you know, they're like three MVPs on the damn team. You better like them.
He's backing up his league. And the players love that.
And the players feel empowered by Adam Silver, which is why they'll go on their own social media and their own individual accounts, and they'll criticize President Trump, and LeBron will call him a bum. And, you know what I mean? And they'll have their own individual, you know, disagreements with the president and the status quo. But just like the NFL owners who donate to President Trump when they want to and who support different political agendas at different times, they do that individually. They do that on their personal time. Like LeBron does it on his personal time. When he called President Trump a bum, he wasn't doing it like, you know, in an NBA interview. He was doing it on his Twitter account. You know what I mean? Steph Curry, when he's saying he's not going to go attend the White House ceremony for the champions of the NBA, you know, he did it like on his personal Twitter. Those guys feel empowered. So there is a separation in the NFL because the NFL, my mom used to say it all the time, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. You know what I mean? That's the NFL in a nutshell. They'll fall for any damn thing. So now the personal and the professional have gotten all mixed up. And the political and the professional all mixed up in the NFL. And the NBA has really done a good job, even though they're more vocal than NFL guys. Pop and Kerr and LeBron and Curry and Durant, they're superstars. That's the equivalent of Tom Brady and Robert Kraft and Jerry Jones and, you know what I mean, and Bill Belichick, the best coaches in the NFL, essentially speaking out politically and saying where they stand. And the NBA does that all the time, and yet they're able to keep it separate, and I think it's because they do a really good job of empowering their players. Hey, you do what you want to do, but we're both invested in this league now. If the league loses popularity, we both lose. The NFL, it seems separate. It seems like the players are always against the owners. In the NBA, it's not like that. You know what I mean? Like, I'll ask you a quick. When's the last time an NBA player got suspended for marijuana? I mean, I'm sure it's happened recently. I just don't remember, and I keep up with the headlines. It just happens in the NFL all the time. Now, I'm not saying the NBA doesn't have their own rules about it, but the NFL is kind of have a the NBA has kind of a, you know, don't ask, don't tell
policy. It's almost assumed.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you know what, we're not trying to catch it, man. Just be responsible. We're not trying to catch it.
Yeah, man, there's a test on the 30th.
Exactly. Yeah, man. You know, come on, guys. Make sure you know what I mean? Like, the NFL's trying to get you. They got a snitch policy. They're trying to get you against the players. Dictator Goodell. You know what I mean? Adam Silver's the guy, like Wag says, he's walking in the locker room like, hey, guys, we got a test coming up. On the 16th, I'm out. I don't want you to get called LeBron. You know, he sends LeBron a text.
You got
a
test, bro. Clean pee.
Like, I mean, he's working with him. The NFL is working against the players, and it's so obvious. Anyway, okay, so let's get to the joint statement. My background there, I ranted. The NFL and the NFLPA, through recent discussions, have been working on a resolution to the anthem issue. In order to allow this constructive dialogue to continue, we have come to a standstill agreement on the NFL players' agreement grievance and the NFL's anthem policy. No new rules related to the anthem will be issued or enforced for the next several weeks while these confidential discussions are ongoing. The NFL and the NFLPA reflect the great values of America, which are repeatedly demonstrated by the many players doing extraordinary work in communities across our country to promote equality, fairness, and justice. Our shared focus will remain on finding a solution to the anthem issue through mutual good faith commitments outside of litigation. Outside of litigation is key because they're being sued by Colin Kaepernick for collusion. And the players have also filed a grievance in court about the latest national anthem policy. So they're like, whoa. First of all, we want to get those things out of court, number one, because in this climate that we're in, that could, you know, you can get some landmark, you can get kind of landmark decisions that could totally change the dynamic of the current CBA as it stands, giving players more rights. And if everyone's like, whoa, we love the current CBA. We don't want to go there. Let's wait till 2021 when we got to renegotiate the CBA to get into all that. So now we got to work with the players because right now this is the one issue where the players actually have a lot of public support. Like I said, 50%, at least 50% of America is on their side. And just like 50% of America is on the other side. And there hasn't been an issue for the players. I don't know why in the NFL, and I used to be among this group, that can unite them. That's why they lose all the work stoppages. You know, there's always somebody who crosses the line. I think Joe Montana back in the day crossed the damn line. Like, the guys just crossed the line. Like, man, I got to work. I got to work, period. This is the NFL. This is football. I got to work. And they're not united enough. Colin Kaepernick scared the hell out of the NFL for two reasons. Number one, because he's the first man that I can ever think of in the NFL that actually dropped the ratings. That they consider him responsible for dropping the ratings. And I know it's not all him. Entertainment ecosystem, a lot of different things, officiating and injuries, I know. But they point the finger at him. And I know they're making more money, but profitability and popularity are two different things. And we've said that. We've stated that on the show. Like that, O.J. Simpson couldn't do that. You know, Ray Rice, Michael Vick. There are a lot of guys who did horrible things that could not drop the ratings of the NFL and could not disgust Americans to that extent. And yet Colin Kaepernick did. Or maybe it was just coincidental and happy accident that started around that time, but he is associated with that. This is why he does not have a job right now in the NFL. And we all know that he's as good as the Texans backup quarterback. I don't even know who the hell it is. Don't matter. He's as good as that guy. I'll tell you that right. As a Texans fan, I'll just say that. That's as far as I'll go as a Texans fan. And I think most fandoms will go that far and go, yeah, he's better than our backup quarterback. So the NFL now, they're so desperate because this is a crisis of character for them. And I've said they've got two crises. They got an existential crisis going on. That's with CTE and the concussion crisis. And we'll get to that because Larry Fedora put his foot in his mouth earlier this week about that issue. But there's also the crisis of character they're dealing with now when the president doesn't like the NFL and never really has because they didn't want to let him in their billionaires club. So the president picks on the NFL whenever he gets a chance. It's an issue that he was on that was very popular for him and a political it was a political card that he could play that was really popular with the American people. And he was on the popular side of that issue even at the time. And he took a stance when nobody else really would touch it. So, you know, give him credit for that. And that's what he always does. He'll jump out there on that limb. But the NFL has tried their best to cater their policies now and even their public relations, I would say their strategy to President Trump, which we should because he could end up winning re-election and he could just attack the NFL for 8 straight years. They don't want that. You know, they'd like to meet somewhere in the middle and offer an olive branch. And I think that's what they tried to do with the new national anthem policy. And President Trump did not even like that. He was like, no, I don't like that either. They should be banned from the league. The thing in the locker room, I don't like it. You know what I mean? He didn't like that either. He said it was a step forward, but no, they should make all the players stand at attention and respect the flag. Or if not, then, hey, kick them off the damn team or fire them or ban them. And, you know, the NFL has been silent on the issue because they know whenever they speak out, either they get attacked and President Trump is better at you know, manipulating the media than the NFL is. And on the other side, you know, they look bad if they're oppressing or disenfranchising the players. So it's a catch-22 for them. So they've been silent. This is their first statement about it, honestly, since they implemented the new policy or voted for the new policy, which they did without the players. This move with the players, that is strategic, ladies and gentlemen. That's strategic. They've been seen as this elitist group that is trying to oppress the players and take away their rights. And they're like, well, we can't. That ain't good. That's hurting our popularity. Now let's go work with the players. And you know what? It just makes sense. They should be working with the players, even if it's a and now it's a negotiation. You know what I mean? That's and the players actually, they shouldn't give up much for that because they got a 2021 CBA negotiation coming up. But you can see now the NFL, they know they have to do something that at least appeases both sides, which is going to be really tough to do. If you were with the NBA and you just had a – if you had a stance and stuck with it, if they took the side that President Trump wants and just stuck with it, they probably would have been okay because people would have got over it. And if they took the other side, they would have been okay with it. But there are several players – defensive tackle Jarrell Casey of the Titans has been one of them who says, I'm going to take a fine this year. Why not? I'm going to protest during the flag. That's what I'm going to say it right now. I am going to take the fine. It is what it is. I ain't going to let them stop me from doing what I want to do. And there is rumors that he is not the only player. He just stated it out loud. So, yeah. They got problems. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk more about that. Also, I want to talk about Jimmy Garoppolo dating a porn star. Is it really that bad? All of that more right here on the Rodcast on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260. All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. You can always hit us up on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. Got a texter here that says, as a high school teacher, I can tell you it would freak people out if they knew how many high schoolers don't stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Had to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance every time. Did you do that, Wags, every time?
Yeah, I remember that. Damon Dawkins, a dude in my class, saying, like, I ain't standing for the flag.
Damon Dawkins did it. Mm-hmm, look at him. Trailblazer before
dude,
his
he
time,
was,
huh?
He was just like,
what reason did he give? Just was he being lazy, or did he just actually have a reason?
Right, but he was just doing it because he didn't want to stand up, I think. But he was just being a kid. But he was known as the leader of FPO, which was the five plays of excellence. He got to touch the field five times only a game, but
yeah. That's pretty good. I like that FPO. Man, it's amazing what the kind of nicknames you have in football. FPO,
plays of excellence.
We had UMOC. You know what UMOC stands for?
No.
Ugliest man on campus.
Nice.
Yeah, we had a UMOC. We had a UMOC award.
Yeah, we always called the scrubs. We say, hey, you heading up that FPO award? What's
right?
up?
Right, nice. Okay, well, we got another texter here who says, Tom Emily Wolf fan says, then what do we do with Trump when he shares a stage with Putin and badmouths America in front of the world? What a hypocrite. Yeah, I'm trying to keep it the sports angle to it. I can't get totally political on the show because I've veered off in that realm before, and
I'm staying out of politics. The hate texts I get
are just unbelievable, man. It's crazy.
That's my advice, man. I'm staying out of politics for the next four, maybe five, maybe 8 years.
Yeah, hey, there are a lot of people that are this is actually troubling. They're deciding not to vote. That aren't voting. They thought it's going to be this backlash, but still they don't have enough young people that are voting. Young people are unenthusiastic about voting, which is terrible. Like, it's horrible.
I still feel both parties are conditioning us, regardless if you're a Democrat or a Republican. I feel like both parties condition us to the representatives that they want us to choose. Until we can choose the representation that I want, I don't feel like it's in my best interest right now because I definitely don't see eye to eye with the Republican Party and I definitely don't see eye to eye with the Democrat Party.
You want a multiple party system. Oh, not multiple. Well, we have multiple. Yeah, you want more than two.
I don't see how we are the most diverse or arguably the most diverse country in the world, and we only have two major parties of representation. That See? Just doesn't add up.
Sorry, sounds like a political show. Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? I already did.
My degree from the 40 acres is kicking in, man.
You're a Renaissance man, so I appreciate the knowledge. Displaced Sooner Dave says, I don't think you're right on the 50-50 split on the anthem protesters. I think it's closer to 80-20 supporting the flag and anthem. I do think it caused the ratings drop, and it did in my house. And I know it did in a lot of people. It did in my dad didn't watch the Super Bowl this year. Like, he was upset with the way they handled the Colin Kaepernick situation. So I think on both sides, most of the surveys that have been done have it, 47, 50 or 50-50 or 52-40. Like, it's really, really close. That's why it's such a divisive issue in this country. But I appreciate it, Displaced Sooner fan. Dorch says, Rod, here's my question. Are you allowed to bring a gun to work? No. Why? Because your boss says you can't, but you don't sue them because he's violating your rights as American citizens. I don't know if I think I can bring a gun to work, actually.
Not in this building.
Oh, I can't bring one in this building?
This building is FTC building.
Oh, there you go. Okay, I was going to say, I don't know.
The first sign I saw.
I was going to say, I don't know. Cause people write to carry. I don't actually know. I've never checked it. I don't carry a gun to work, so I wouldn't know.
You can keep it in your vehicle, though.
Yeah, but we cannot equate their situation with ours because their situation is so much different. Being in the NFL, having that platform, being NFL players, they feel like they have a greater responsibility. And we do always say that to much. When much is given, much is expected. To whom much is given, much is expected. And those guys feel like they have a burden on them right now to publicize or bring awareness to an issue that they don't think America's paying enough attention to. So, I mean, we can't put ourselves in. I can't even do it. I can't, even as me being a black man and a former NFL athlete, I still can't do that in terms of what they're giving up now because they could potentially lose their jobs. There are examples out there of guys who can't get jobs because they put a fist up or they protested during the national anthem. Hey, and listen, the statement must be made, but the price will be paid. That is the First Amendment. the statement will be made because it's the First Amendment. I can say it, but you still have the consequences of that statement. I can say whatever I want right here on the station right now, but there are consequences to what I say. I dropped something on this airways right now that I'm not supposed to say, or something really, really insensitive or ignorant. And I got bosses. I got like three of them, or no, two of them, two of them that I answer to. And that, hey, the fit may hit the shan and I may have to pay for it with my job because I said something. So I understand that. And that's what the Colin Kaepernick people are like, man, he should be in the film. I'm like, well, the guys who, during the civil rights movement, when, those guys were protesting, like they went to jail, like there's a consequence to it. Like they got beaten and water hose and dogs sicked on them. It's unfortunate. It was their First Amendment, but there are consequences to it, unfortunately. So that for Colin Kaepernick is his consequence. So listen, I always said that if we need to have a overall awkward conversation about respecting the national anthem, period. So that means when the national anthem is playing, let's get off our damn phones. Let's stop buying nachos and hot dogs. Let's shut that down. Shut down the T-shirt buying and shut everything. Let's try to get to the stadium on time so everybody's there, not walking to their seats as it's happening. Take off your hats. All the, like, if we want to really respect it, and if that's, and I agree, I think we should. But if we're gonna do it, let's all do it. Let's all take ownership in it. And I don't think that's happened. I think a lot of it is just they're picking on those players. I can call out plenty of people who don't pay proper respect to the national anthem while it's playing in certain situations in stadiums. I've seen them. They're on their phones. They're tweeting out stuff. They're taking pictures. Like, hey, national anthem's playing. What's going on? So let's start calling them people out, too. Call your neighbors out. You're sitting there and standing next to somebody and they on their phone or got their hat on when national anthem's going, knock their head off their head and go, hey, man.
Police your own, man.
Police your own. That's what we got to do. Let's do that. I don't see enough of that. It might be a fight in the stands if it happens, but you know what I'm saying? We don't get enough of that. I'm not saying we're not calling each other out. We're just calling them out on the field. That don't
convenient.
Seem fair.
It sounds like convenient.
That don't seem fair. You know what I mean? We ought to all respect it. If the national anthem is that sacred, if it is, then let's all respect it. Let's all give it its proper amount of respect. When you're at home, don't sit in your damn lazy boy eating potato chips if it's on. Get up out of your seat and pay respect to the national anthem. Oh, Roger, being ridiculous. That's hyperbole. Okay.
Yeah. No, but that's what, that's it. It sounds a little bit of hyperbole, but seriously, if that's the issue that you want to take a stance
on, the issue right now. It's
then
about
that should
respecting.
Be happening without behind closed doors when no one else is watching.
Exactly. It wasn't about respect until those guys did something that people deemed to be disrespectful to the national anthem. And, you know, that's why, it's one of those things where we can get deep on this and we can go all day. I know it's an unpopular subject. Let's talk about porn stars and NFL quarterbacks, okay? This is what the NFL does. This is the first, let's make the transition. Okay, so Jimmy Garoppolo, he was seen with a porn star, Kiara Mia. Somebody rocking, knocking doubles. I am unfamiliar. I know some of y'all out there actually know your porn stars. That, I gotta tell you, you might be addicted. If you know, like, more than, like, three or four of them, you might be addicted.
They are actresses as well.
Right? Okay, all right, actresses. But I'm just saying, and you're addicted to watching these actresses, all right? Actresses.
Their blocking is good. They have good blocking.
They do have good blocking. No doubt about that. Well, apparently Jimmy Garoppolo took this adult entertainment star on a date in Beverly Hills. Like, it wasn't like something behind closed doors. Like, Donald Trump hooked up with Stormy Daniels, but it was like in the hotel room, and it was like, hey, boom, hit it and quit it, knocking the boots, done deal. All right, one night stand. And I remember when Deshaun Watson was hanging out with Mia Khalifa, who's been in this studio, hanging out with BK and Troy. All right, and as a Texans fan, I was like, he did have a video in a room with Mia Khalifa. All right, no big deal. He was probably just hanging out with her. He was in the room, though. He's not, like, you know, out in town. He's not, you know, he's not going to, I don't know if he's going to marry her. He's not dating her. He's just hanging out with her. Hanging out with a porn star is different than dating a porn star. Can we all agree? Dating a porn star, that's different. Hanging out with a porn star, hey, that's fun.
We're just testing water.
We all want to hang out with a porn star, don't we? Hang out with one? Yeah. Do I want to date a porn star? Probably not.
Could you?
Well, yeah, but it wouldn't be a serious thing. And my thing, I'm not a franchise quarterback either. Like, I'm of the San Francisco 49ers. You know what I mean? So I always say what would Jesus do saying? If people wear those bracelets, WWJD, what would Jesus do? So you're in a situation, you're in traffic, you're about to drop some racial slur while somebody cuts you off, and you look at your bracelet and go, what would Jesus do? God bless you, you mother. Bank. You know what I mean? You know, so you tone you down a little bit. So you don't at least talk to racial. So it don't make you a racist. At least you're hateful, but not a racist. So I would say, what would Tom Brady do? WWTBD. What would Tom Brady do? Would Tom Brady be out in Beverly Hills dating a porn star? No. What would Drew Brees do? What would Drew Brees do? WWDBD. What would Drew Brees do? Would he be seen out there? Nope. What would Peyton Manning do? WWPMD. What would Peyton Manning do? Would he be seen out in public dating a porn star? Nope. What would Aaron Rodgers do? He's another one. What would Aaron Rodgers do? WWARD. What would Aaron Rodgers do? Would he be seen out in public dating a porn star? Probably not. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of my thing. And Deshaun Watson, when he had the video with him and Mick Leva, it was great. Him and they playing, like, basketball in the hotel room or something like that, or in somebody's house. Yeah, but as a franchise quarterback, I'm sure somebody's going to say something to him. Now, ain't nothing wrong. Listen, porn stars are people, too. All right? They just got a job to do. So I ain't mad at it. I ain't mad at him at all. You know what I mean? But like I said, what would Tom Brady do? Tom Brady wouldn't be seen there. Here's a – I came with a list of people that have, like, dated or been associated with porn stars. Donald Trump, of course. Stormy Daniels. Charlie Sheen loved porn stars. Remember Carlton from The Fresh Prince? He dated Ashlyn Brooke, porn star, Pauly Shore, Drew Carey. Tiger Woods loves porn stars, by the way. Boom! Holly Sampson, Devin, what's her name? Devin Jenna, I believe his name. Jocelyn James is also another one. Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds reportedly, allegedly, has a child with a porn star. Hey, Drake! Isn't Drake's woman kind of she's not a porn star. She's like an adult entertainment star. There's a difference. It's like a difference between a hooker and like a call girl. There's a difference. Don't trust me on that because I wouldn't know, but I've heard there's a difference. Kid Rock dated porn stars. Macaulay Culkin apparently used to date a porn star. Irene Lopez. Bruce Willis dated Alicia Klass. I don't know who that is. Tito Ortiz has two kids with Jenna Jameson. She's kind of like the Beyonce of porn stars, though, right? She's like the top notch.
She's like evolved. She's got a PhD.
She's got her own company now. Like, she's behind the scenes. She's like directing and stuff like that. Like, she is. Like, she really came up and did it big. Hines Ward and Lisa Ann. Hey, Bucky has hung out with Lisa Ann, hasn't he? Yeah. He hasn't dated her, but he hung out with Lisa Ann, didn't he? Didn't Bucky?
I'm pretty sure that's how it went.
I want to say Bucky and Lisa Ann. Like, I don't know. I don't know how deep that goes, but I think I remember Bucky talking about Lisa Ann. My point is, Rob Gronkowski actually got BB Jones. Is that a porn star? Do you know this, right? BB Jones?
I don't know her.
Would you admit to knowing any of them?
I'm not a residential porn star.
Yeah, who goes specifically to those websites and looks for the actual stars? I mean, all those categories? I mean, why would you go? Really? You go to a certain star? That's crazy. You know, all those categories, it's like a playground. Anyway,
that's exactly what it is.
It is a playground. I know. Yeah, Jimmy. Hey, it's what if I was Kyle Shannon, Jimmy Garoppolo, go to the website, bro. You can live like every other man and go date the girl next door. You don't date the porn star. You know, but I think every man's fantasy is to, like, get it on with the porn star. Every man's fantasy is. That's why Kim Kardashian blew up the way she did. She became a sex symbol is because she basically became a porn star without actually being a porn star. And then that's what men's fantasies are these days. I don't know. It's crazy. It's sick. We're sick. We're sick and demented. We all are.
We covet what we don't have.
Freaky Tales coming up next, as if that wasn't one. All that and more right here on the Rockcast. This is the Horn 104.9 AM 1260. All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. I want to get into some freaky tales here. We got time here. Drop me some freaky tales, brother. Let's do it. I guess we keep talking about Jimmy Garoppolo and the porn star. That's kind of freaky tales. Hopefully, it's freaky tales for him. I mean, we are assuming he closed the deal, right?
Oh, he has to, man. He's Jimmy G.
He's Jimmy G. Taking out a porn star and building this. By the way, 15 years age difference. She's 41. She's a cougar.
Like a fine
wife. She's a
MILF.
You know what I mean? And he is a young stud. I'm just assuming he closed the deal, at least. You know, hopefully that was the case, all right? Because he's going to get a little flack for it. But I will say this. Porn stars are not as taboo as they used to be. You know what I mean? And neither is adult entertainment. I mean, not saying I would date a porn star, but essentially Kanye married a porn star. Our president has, you know, admitted to having sex with a porn star. Like, it's just...
I think the censorship is becoming
less and less of it. Yeah, it's one of those things.
More acceptable.
So, yeah, slowly but surely starting to become more acceptable. All right. How about this? Japan has got a ninja shortage. I'm not making it up. That is true. In the town of Iga, Japan, which is supposed to be famous for actually the birthplace of the ninja, they have what they call the Ninja Fest, where I think 30 to 50,000 people come to this small town in Iga, Japan, to see all the ninjas and see, like, learn about the ninja culture. People dress up like in ninja outfits. It's like NinjaCon, if you will. Biggest ninja festival in the world. Well, the ninja tourism industry is breaking down, apparently, because this little small town is dealing with depopulation. So they actually are now soliciting ninjas from around the world. And they're offering. How much do you think a ninja gets paid, Wags?
They're paying ninjas to come?
Yeah, they're paying ninjas, though. They're paying ninjas. Ninja, please.
Is this in yen?
Yeah, well, I got dollars figures here, so it's Japan.
I'm gonna say $5,000 for an appearance?
I think they got annual. It's annual here. So give me annually, what do you think a ninja makes?
35 grand a year.
85 max.
My goodness.
You start at 23, it should be the lowest for a ninja.
You probably get the promotion stuff with Ninja Warrior.
Boom. If you're a Ninja Warrior, If you're a Ninja Turtle, I'm sure you get paid more too. After that, no doubt. But yeah, if you're a ninja, you can be a ninja. They actually need ninjas. There's a ninja shortage. Who knew? Why are there still ninjas, by the way? Unless you know what? The fact that Japan does not have ninjas as a part of their, like, military? Shame on you, Japan. Shame on you for not just having ninjas as, like, your elite fighting force, like Navy SEALs. You know what I mean? Shame on, because that's part of their history. That came from Japan. That's not being stereotypical. You should have ninjas as a part of your elite fighting force.
Ninja and the samurai.
Yeah, come on, dude. What's the samurai force, ninja force, Japan? Damn shame. It's a damn shame. You know what I mean? I don't even want to get into it. I'm getting too deep into it anyway. All right. That was a freaky tale. Oh, I got one more. Do we got time for one more freaky tale? Okay. This is kind of, well, I thought it was freaky anyway. How about this? I found out, and I was reading Us Weekly. I know. Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt were the first two initial stars who were offered the part in Brokeback Mountain. What, did you ever see Brokeback Mountain?
Nah, man, I missed that one.
You missed that one? It got eight Academy Award nominations. You missed. Did you see it, Matt? Yeah, of course. It's great. It's great. Jake Gyllenhaal and Heath Ledger, they're awesome. All right, just two men getting it on out in the mountains. You know what I mean?
I wish I knew how to quit you.
And I'm not gonna lie. I'm just saying this right now, and I'm securing my masculinity. Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt. That would have been a much better movie. I'm not saying I'd have enjoyed the lovemaking sessions more with DiCaprio and Brad Pitt, but I'm just saying it would have been a better movie, and it was all about men getting it on. And I'm securing my masculinity. I wear secret deodorant. I can say that. Yeah, there you go. Boom. All right, that's another freaky tale. All right, we'll come back. We have another freaky tales coming up at the 2 o'clock. We'll go behind the burnt orange curtain, talk some NBA news, notes, and nuggets as well. Carmelo going to the Houston Rockets. I'm not sure if that's good or bad. This is the Rodcast right here on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260.